Okay, so today on the call, we're going to cover a couple things. First thing I was going to cover are what I believe to be the five biggest mistakes that we make in martial arts schools when it comes to selling merchandise. And then after getting through that, I'm going to cover the holidays in some detail, since I know that, obviously the holidays are coming up, and there's a lot of good opportunities that come with that, so we'll discuss that as well. I do want to encourage you to ask questions. Some of you have heard me speak before, and some of this will be redundant, but by the same token, I always want to make sure that I cover stuff that's important to you, so please make sure to submit your questions to Kathy so that I can address them while we're all on the line. Okay, so the first things first, what are the five biggest mistakes that we make in martial arts merchandising or pro shop sales? And I think the biggest one is that we provide equipment that you could be selling. Too many times I walk into schools and I see jump ropes hanging on the wall. I see resistance bands hanging on the wall. Someone will show me a box that shows the boxing gloves that they let their students use. And I'm only a proponent of letting people use stuff like that on a trial basis. But for the most part, I think all of those items should be built into the programs that you're teaching. They should be required that people buy them from you, and the one way to do that is to build it into packages. I can obviously talk to everybody offline if you need more help with that. It's not as difficult as it sounds, but I know that sometimes it can be tricky, so I don't mind working with any of you guys. However, I do think that we have to stop providing equipment for people that we could be selling. Some things, even believe it or not, even things like focus mitts, targets, heavy bags, things like that, are things that indeed we can be selling. We still have to use them and provide them, of course, in our class, but we can sell them as well, and I'll cover that a little bit more later. The second thing I want to say is that we don't actually make it mandatory. We're busy providing stuff for people that we could be selling, and the second thing is we should make it mandatory that people buy stuff. I find that a lot of school owners will let students show up with products that they purchased somewhere else, and this seems to be a bigger problem more now than it was in the past, because the Internet is making it easier for people to find things in different places. And I'm also hearing that a parent will be in the gallery and hear from another parent that they got this great deal on this product, and then they go ahead and start telling the other parents, and then everyone's doing the same thing. And the truth of the matter is that the minute we allow that to happen in our school, it makes it very difficult to sell any merchandise. And there's easy ways to counteract that. And what I would say primarily is, the first thing is we have to make it mandatory that people buy the stuff from you. And number two is that you're the expert and you should determine what it is that people should be buying. And three, if someone shows up with something that they bought somewhere else that's the same as what you're selling but they bought it for less, well, then I would still honor that price and sell it to them and ask them to return it from where they purchased, because we want to get in the habit of people buying from you. We want them to understand that it's not acceptable to bring in products from other places into your school, because it just sets the example that's okay, and then every other student wants to do the same thing. So if you have questions about that, don't hesitate to ask them, because we can work on that. The third biggest mistake that we make as merchandisers is that we buy things that we would want but not what we'll actually sell. And I think that I could speak from my own personal experience here. Even though I'm not a school owner, I happen to have a whole warehouse full of product here because that's what we do. And if we sold only products that Paul Revlin wanted in our catalog, then our catalog would look very different and probably wouldn't perform as well. It's important that you spend some time talking to your customers about what items they'd like to see. It's really easy. Most of us have instructors and staff, and even our students are more than happy to tell us, hey, I'd love it if you would make a moisture management or dry fit type shirt as opposed to just T-shirts or something like that. Or, hey, wouldn't it be great if we get this kind of hat instead of that kind of hat next time, or a duffel bag that looks a certain way. I know that there's a lot of items in the RevGear catalog that I personally train with, that I like to work out with, but there's a lot of items that I don't use. They don't apply to what I do, but I sell them because that's what our customers are requesting. And 9 times out of 10, when you see a product in the RevGear catalog, it's because it was requested by a particular customer in some way, shape, or form, and we believe that other customers are going to buy it because a certain few had an interest in it. Sometimes that's not the case, of course, but for the most part, don't make this mistake of buying stuff that you personally like or that you think will sell. Spend some time asking questions of your staff and your students of what they would like to see, and then spend time looking for those items. You may actually offer less items that way as a result, but the items you sell will be more effective for you. You'll probably have better results. Number four, the fourth of the biggest mistakes we make is that we don't use the space in our school effectively. The number one complaint I get from school owners is when it comes to pro shop or merchandise is that I just don't have enough space. I understand their concerns because they probably feel, or most people probably feel, that when you look at a store that's retailing, you know, if it's any store at the mall or anything, they have a ton of space, or you've even probably seen some schools with big pro shops and whatnot, and it looks like a luxury. The truth of the matter is that having a big pro shop means carrying a lot of inventory, because when you have a big pro shop, you need to keep it full in order for it to succeed. Even retail stores in the mall, for you or I, let's say as a layman's perspective, may walk into a retail store and look at it and think it looks full, and they may say to us, well, actually, I'm very thin. And it's because they just don't have the stock that they would like to have, or they wouldn't have the full inventory that they like to have it properly merchandised. Having a bigger pro shop means having a bigger inventory commitment to succeed. I do believe that you can move a lot of merchandise without having a pro shop at all. And when it comes to space, I think you can do a lot with your walls above, you know, the walls, the areas of above your mirrors in your workout rooms, in locker rooms, in hallways. There's just a lot of things we can do. Often I have people just shoot digital images of their school and email them to us and ask us for suggestions, and we'll gladly give them to you and give you our recommendations on how to make the most of your space. But when I push someone to do a monthly special, or let's say you did a new T-shirt for your school and you want to feature that, I tell them put it in multiple places. Put it somewhere right by the door where they see it when they come in. If they go out a separate door when they leave, or there's another door towards the parking lot, put it on the wall over there. Put it on the wall above the mirrors in the training rooms. Put it in the locker rooms. You know, hang it on bulletin boards. Or, you know, there's just a lot of little places that we're not using effectively, and I think that people feel like they don't have a lot of space, but they do. They just need to use the wall space better and put it in places where the parents who are watching classes or whatnot can see it, so that they have something to look at while their students are training, aside from the students, but they can also be looking at what they want to buy next. The fifth one, and the last one on this list, is that I don't think that everyone takes advantages of all the opportunities to sell merchandise. We have a lot of opportunities to sell merchandise every day. Some of those opportunities include workshops and seminars. Some of them include holiday sales, not just what we consider the retail holidays, like Christmas and Hanukkah and things like that, but holidays like Halloween or holidays like the 4th of July, where we can do limited edition items for the school that have a 4th of July feel. I also think that we can build products into every area of your curriculum so that they have equipment packages at yellow belt, orange belt, green belt. It doesn't even have to be at every belt. It could be a yellow belt, another package at green belt, another package at brown belt. Whatever it is that, you know, spots in your curriculum where they have new areas of training that require different levels of equipment or different products, different uniforms. There's a lot of opportunities. Different programs. You can have different products for different programs. Some of you run adult self-defense, fitness kickboxing, MMA, and still have a traditional taekwondo or karate program. And all of those have their own unique product sale opportunities, and we need to explore ways to maximize the most out of each program that you have. And again, that's something that I can work with you separately if you want or have questions about today. But I really think there's a lot more opportunities. The challenge, I think, for most people is bandwidth. You know, where do we get the time? And because often so many of us are either teaching classes, signing people up, cleaning the gym, training our staff, you know, all those things that go on when you run a business. I think that it's easy just to get overwhelmed. So I always encourage people to start smaller, pick a goal, go after it, and then once you achieve that, go to the next level. So if one level is just to implement a package at yellow belt level, let's do that. Let's work on that. Let's get better at it. Let's do it well. And then when we're ready to add another package for green belts and brown belts, let's do that too. Or let's just have a good holiday sale. Let's put all our efforts into a good holiday sale this year. Let's make it the best we can do. And then let's work on the next holiday, which would be 4th of July. We don't have to go crazy, but let's spend 6 months planning, over time what we're going to do so we can do it right and it doesn't drain us trying to do too much at the same time. Okay, so let's talk about the holidays more specifically. It seems like to me that all over the newspapers, the internet, everyone wants to tell us how bearish they are on the holiday retail season and how no one has any money and that it's just going to be negative, negative, negative. And the truth of the matter is everybody likes getting products for the holidays, gifts. I do. Everyone I know does, and everyone wants to buy things, and that's just what we do in the holidays. And the truth of the matter is there's going to be a lot of opportunities for us to sell merchandise. I think that I think this year we probably have to pay special attention to price points, and because that will help us. I haven't quite seen this too much, but in the event it does come up, I think high-ticket items like swords or items that top anywhere from $50 to $150 or more, I think will be things we should stay away from this year in the holiday season. I think a lot of great gifts between $20 or anywhere from $15 to $50, I think are going to be a real opportunity for us to move a lot of items, and I think that's where you should set your price points when it comes to any sales that you do or whatnot. But before I get to holiday sales specifically, I think that this is a good time of year to really be handing out a lot of gift certificates. And we'll talk about how to do that in regards to a holiday sale. But I just think in general, gift certificates are a great way to get people into your pro shop and spend money with you. Remember that gift certificates are just an invitation to come spend money with you. That's all they are. And people always spend more money than what's on the gift certificate. Just don't set your gift certificates too high. You know, make them for $5 or something like that. And people will always spend more than what's on the gift certificate. And make sure your gift certificate always says something like limit. I forget the verbiage, but I can write it somewhere else with you or help you. But just make sure people don't know that they can't use, compile 5 gift certificates and use them at one time. Limit 1 coupon per order or something like that. I apologize for going blank on that. But I think the point's getting across. I think it's a good idea to make up a gift certificate right now to use as a gift idea for your students to give to other people who are not students. I think you can use it as an enrollment tool. This doesn't relate to merchandise that much, but I just think it's a good idea that, for example, if you normally charge $150 a month for your classes, then I recommend that you sell a one-month membership for $99 and you tell all of your existing students to buy those gift certificates for their friends and family. Now, I realize that that's higher than the price point I just told you, but in this case, I think it's okay because people are looking for great gift ideas. This is a way to say to someone, I got you a month worth of martial arts training, and they can buy those gift certificates for $99. Now, on your gift certificates, you sell them through, you can start selling them now in October, but you should definitely push them heavily through November and then even the most heavy between December 1st and December 15th. But make sure that those gift certificates say they must be redeemed between January 1 and January 31. Because you want all those people, those gift certificates you sell, you want all those people to come in that first month of January. They can come in by January 25th and then use their gift certificate for the next month, and that's okay. But you want them all redeemed in January. So make sure it has that verbiage on there. And also make sure that you're prepared with your upsell so that when January, if they do come in on January 10 and you're going to train them to February 10, that, you know, somewhere around January 25th, you start telling them about all the great benefits of membership and you want to sell them, you know, you want to sell them your normal membership at that point. So it's just a good chance to get people in there. It's a good lead generator and get your students working for you. So make sure they all know about that great gift idea, which is 1 month of training for this price, and that they can buy it for outside people. When we talk about the holiday, of course, most people think of the holiday sales that they want to run. And I think it's a great opportunity. I think everyone should do it. What they don't consider is that they should do two sales. This is not something I dreamt up. This is something Master Clark in Florida taught me a long time ago, which is that you should have two holiday sales. The first one you have, the first one you have, whenever you're going to have it, first, you know, in the beginning of December or whatever you think is the best time for you, and then you have another holiday sale after the new year. The reason you do that is because a lot of people just receive money, and you know, they receive money for the holidays as a gift, and they need somewhere to spend it, or they want somewhere to spend it. I particularly think that after the holiday is a great time to run a used equipment sale. You may have heard me talk about a used equipment sale in the past. It's a good opportunity for your second sale, the second sale that I'm talking about, and it's a good opportunity to do at the beginning of the new year. The used equipment sale is an opportunity for you to sell your heavy bags, focus mitts, kick shields, clapper targets, focus targets. Those tools that you use in the school, those are a good chance for your students to buy them at a discount that they can use to train at home. Everyone knows they're not going to train. We know they're not going to train at home. Every student thinks they're going to train at home. So you're giving them an opportunity not to pay full retail, but to sell your used equipment at a discount. Definitely sell it above your cost, your replacement cost, but you don't have to sell it for too much more, but use it as an opportunity to replace all of your equipment, start the new year with new equipment in your facility, which will help you, obviously, for closing new memberships. Your gym will look better, your school will look better, and also it's safer, and all the benefits that come with having better equipment. We also know that everyone, whenever you ask your students to run over and get targets or mitts or something, they all run to the same spot, right? They all want to get the good mitts, okay? I know when I trained a long time ago, that was in classes like that, I always wanted to run over and get the best pair of mitts, right? And because some of them were more beat up than others. And the truth of the matter is we should never have that situation where there are a good pair of mitts. They should all be good, and they should all be safe, and they should all be in good condition. So the way we do that is to run a used equipment sale every 6 to 8 months, and I think there's no better time than after the new year, after people have received some money. Another option is to just run a second sale, and that's to run a very similar sale or something not much different than what you ran the first part of December and just sell the remaining items you have or just give the people an opportunity to buy some more and spend some more money with you. Okay, so when it comes to the sale itself, a lot of people are always concerned that they're going to have a lot of stuff left over. And so it's scary when they buy for their used, when they buy for their holiday sale because they're just worried they're going to have too much merchandise left over if it doesn't sell. It's a legitimate concern, and I think that everyone has to look at it in two ways. Number one is you always have to underbuy. Don't buy what you think you're going to sell. Just buy less than that. And be conservative, because what's the worst thing that could happen? A couple people miss out on buying something from you. That's actually a great opportunity because it creates a sense of urgency. If you run out of something and someone says, oh, man, I wish I had the chance to buy that, it's no problem. You can say, well, I have something else coming down the pipe later, which is and if you want, you can pre-order it right now, so I make sure you're the first on the list. So something like that works well for that. Something might be, I don't know, cool T-shirt design. I really harp on T-shirts because I think they're a high-margin item, and I think that they're the easiest item to sell for us. They make your students a walking, talking billboard. They like to advertise that they're cool and tough, and they take martial arts, and they like to, and in the meantime, it advertises for your school. There's an endless amount of designs, of course, that you could use and colors, and there's just no end to how many T-shirts you can sell to students. at good margin. So T-shirts are a great idea in this case. When you do a buy for T-shirts, you may buy two colors, you sell them through, and if someone misses out, well, you can tell them I have another color or a new design coming. Why don't you pre-order that with me right now? And also, that creates a sense of urgency for the next time you do a T-shirt promotion because people missed out on the opportunity. So I feel like it's important that you underbuy. And the other thing is, I think it's important that you try not to feel like you can accommodate everybody, because you really can't, and you will probably kill yourself trying to do that. Even here at our offices, we still get requests for things that we just can't do. I mean, we physically could do it, but it doesn't make sense from a business standpoint. You can't be all things to all people all the time. It's better that you pick a certain few things, focus on them, and be good at them. And I think in this case, I think that you should underbuy the quantity you think you should get. And the reason, and the point I'm trying to make here is that if you're short 5 units, then that's okay. It's not a big deal, and it creates a good sense of urgency. But don't try to go ahead and overnight or 2-day or express ship 5 items because you missed out on those 5 orders and people need them for the holidays. You have to learn to say no to some things, because at the end of the day, doing that will take you away from doing what you need to be doing in other areas, and it will cost you more. Obviously, there won't be any profit in those items or whatever it is. And so you lose the economies of scale doing that, trying to please everybody. So underbuy, create the sense of urgency, and you can always have another sale afterwards, or bring, if the item is such a great seller and you didn't feel like you had enough, well, you can always do it again in January or another time later and sell it again. And so it's just a good opportunity. So make sure to do that. When you have your holiday sale, I know that this sounds like very basic 101, but I can't stress it enough, which is that you must make sure that it is a big event. Your sale must be an event, and in order to do that, it requires a lot of promotion. So some ideas on how to promote it properly are going to be, think about everywhere your customer can see you or hear you, and put something in there 2, 3, 4 times. It's not enough to tell people 1 time. It's not enough to tell people 2 times. And anyone who tells you they'll show up, we all know that multiple times. We all know that if 10 people tell us they're showing up, 5 or 6 may show up. Some people may have 9 or 10 show up, and that's great. But how can we tell people? One, if we do a newsletter, it must be in the newsletter. Not just one place in the newsletter, but multiple places in the newsletter. Class announcements. We must tell them after every class that the holiday sale is coming up. This is the date. These are some of the great items we're going to have. And so make sure if you're looking for gift ideas for friends, family, or other students, this is the place to get it. Let's see. What else? Buy bulletin boards in locker rooms. Make a poster on the wall. Make it a good project for an after-school, if you have an after-school program, to make a cool poster that you guys can put up on the wall, on one of your walls, to advertise the holiday sale. Make sure when people are greeted at your front desk that there is what I call a no-brainer sign, which is right there in front of them. Wherever it is that they check in each day to when they come to the school, make sure that there's a sign listed there that talks about the holiday sale, the date and the time, and some of the great items that they're going to have. Okay. Give out. So now that you have this, you're announcing the sale everywhere, start giving out coupons to the sale. Give them out freely. Give them out everywhere. Give them out to people after class. Give them to people for walking into your school. Attach stickers on the top of certain drinks in your drink machine, so that every fifth drink that comes out has a coupon or a discount for something at the holiday sale. Okay, that, by the way, that's something that you should do all year round with your pro shop, but this is a particularly great time to do it, which is to give out gift certificates to people who do for rewards in class, the people who do exceptional things or have participated in a lesson or done something that you want to reward them for. Make sure that everything is about the sale if you're going to focus on it and do it right. And gift certificates are going to be a big part of that, or coupons. So make sure you give them out freely. You know, maybe a free keychain or something every time they buy an item at your sale. Or maybe they get a second item at 10% off if they buy a first item. Whatever it is, and if you need ideas, we could share those with you separately. But make sure you give out a lot of gift certificates and a lot of coupons for your sale. Give the people the invitations to come to the sale. And even if you want, you can make a formal invitation that you could hand out to everybody. I don't know if it's necessary to spend that kind of money, but use the gift certificate as an invitation, because that's what it is. It doesn't have to say it, but that's what it is. So make sure you give them out freely. Okay? At this point, I'd like to see what questions we have. So, Kathy, if there happen to be any questions, I'm curious what are people's concerns about holiday sales and what may be holding them back or areas they want to maximize. So, Are there have any questions about that?
Sure. Let's see. Is there anybody on the telephone, first of all, that would like to ask a question? Well, we do have a question from the web, and it's basically about layaway. Do you think it's a good idea to try to offer some type of a layaway program for your people?
Yes and no, actually. It was interesting on TV the other day. I just saw someone, one of the big retailers, and I can't remember who it was, but whether it was Kmart or Walmart, someone was offering layaway. And the article was about how it was a revival of layaway that had, you know, it's just something that in the age of credit cards had gone away, and now people were doing it again. I do think that it is a good idea. I know schools that are successful and do it, and they do it successfully. Just keep in mind that you got to have the resources to do it. So, in other words, you got to have some system that may be basic but still gets the job done, because you need to know once they're paid and whatnot. And so you certainly can't – if they want to use layaway, there's no discount. That's for sure. So if they have a coupon or they have a gift certificate or you have some kind of discount program, it does not apply to layaway, because – effectively, if you put something on layaway, it's something that you can't sell to somebody else, and you've become the financier for that sale. So it's not you should not be discounting something that you're financing for your customer. But I do think that it's a good tool for people, certainly in the holiday time, who feel like, I want to get something, or I want to get something for somebody else, and I get paid in a couple weeks. I can give you some money now and give you more than later. Just remember, it's going to cost you a little bit more in labor and maintenance in your systems or whatever to keep track of the sale, and it costs you something to put that item away and not sell it to somebody else. So as long as you don't discount it and as long as you have the system in place to keep track of it, then I think it could be a good tool for you. I know that definitely some of the larger schools do that around the country.
Yeah, I think like for families with like multiple children, you know, two or three kids, if they want to buy brand new uniforms for everybody, then that could be really helpful to them as well.
Definitely.
Mark has a question for you. He wants to know if you think a 25% discount right off the top, I guess, of the retail price, is that okay? Just to like go right in with that.
I think it's too high. I think it won't be necessary. I think that the percentage discounts on gift certificates, I assume we're talking about gift certificates, and if that's the case, then I think it's a little too – I think it's high. I don't like giving percentages on gift certificates. I think they should be for I think that they should be something like $5 on an item of $25 or more, something like that, or $5 off an item of $20 or more. Now, that may be 25%, but in effect, but I'm limiting what they can spend it on. That way they don't come to me with a $3 keychain and say, well, it says $5, and I want it for free. But if you do discounts...
And they will, right.
So I think you can do 5% or 10. I would actually, since I want to give out these gift certificates a lot, I would keep the discounts less. I'd keep them for like 5% or something. It's just something that's going to encourage them to come see you, and they may need to see it. They may only be allowed to use one coupon each time they order from you or whatever. But if you give it to them 10 times, ultimately they're going to come spend some money with you. Now, keep in mind when you guys give out gift certificates, make sure that your staff, whether it's you or your staff, are working the sale or working the pro shop or just taking money for a product. They must be trained to upsell. I covered this in the last call, but they must be trained to say if item A sells, if a customer's buying item A, they must be sold item B by the person who's taking the money. So make a list of fixed, what I call fixed upsells, so that no matter who's writing the order, everybody's on the same page. If someone buys a pair of gloves, they're automatically upsold a pair of hand wraps. I know people have heard me say this forever, for years, but come up with your list. Item A, I upsell B. This item, I upsell this item. Make that list. Train you, your staff, your spouse, or whoever's going to be taking money so that you know when those gift certificates are redeemed that people are upsold. And then, in terms of discounts, in terms of using a gift certificate for membership, like I mentioned earlier in the call, that's something different. Then you just pick the price that's right for you. I just like $99 as a gift idea, and if I know that my classes are normally $150. But ultimately, you have to decide what price it is that you're selling your classes for and what would be a good price that would encourage your students to buy those gift certificates for their friends and family.
Okay. And Mark clarified a little bit further. He meant, is it okay just to give a 25% discount right off the top of, like, equipment? And I think he's probably thinking about trying to be competitive, you know, as you said before, where sometimes you might have to discount things a little bit because they can buy things online so easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't do it unless I had to. So, in other words, I would sell it at the price I want to sell it, and then if someone came back to me and said I saw it online for this price, I'd say, well, okay, I'll match it for you. But I think that the other way to avoid this conversation altogether is just to build the product into the program. So if you build it into your enrollment, then they don't even feel like they bought it. So, for example, it's sparring gear, and it's a package of sparring gear that's head, you know, kicks, head, and feet. I'm sorry, kicks, punches, and headgear, and a duffel bag, and a cup and a mouthpiece or something. If that package normally would be $100, $150, whatever, and I know that I'm going to sell it to everyone who reaches yellow belt level because they're required to have that and they're going to be sparring, then I don't sell it separately. So if I'm doing belt testing, then I increase my belt test by the cost of the by the price of the equipment that I want to sell it for. So if I'm charging for a belt test, I will bump the price of the belt test significantly, and I would tell people that all the equipment you need for yellow belt is included. So right after the yellow belt test, if they're going to get their certificate, their belt, then I also give them their equipment in the ceremony. They don't have to buy it separately. They don't have to pay for it separately. It was included in the price. And people, you can charge more for things if you have include more products and it has a higher perceived value. So this, you know, depending on how you're selling your curriculum, if people need a basic package when they start and it's going to be a uniform, a duffel bag, and a DVD or manual or something, I'd like to build it into the cost of the enrollment and give it to them for free. They're really paying your cost plus your profit. But to them, it feels like it was just included in the price, and then I don't have to haggle with them later that they got this found somewhere else because it was just included in their training. I don't know if that
gotcha.
Helps.
I think so.
Okay.
no, it does. Another question is on the second sale. At the end of the first sale, when somebody is actually checking out and buying, you know, whatever it is that they're getting, is that a good time to hand them a coupon for the next sale and to tell them, oh, by the way, we will be having a second sale at that point?
Yeah, that would be excellent. I would, as long as they don't feel like they're going to, as long as they don't feel like whatever they just bought is going to be discounted on the second sale. So the point is, it's a great time to give them a coupon, and that's fine, for a future item or future pro shop or future sale. I mean, anytime you sell anything to anybody, you can give them a gift certificate for the next sale. I mean, if you shop at Banana Republic or something like that, they send out gift cards all the time. Once you spend a certain amount of money with them, it triggers something that sends out a gift card to you to spend more money with them again. It comes in the mail. But the point is that anytime you sell anything, it's a great time to give them a coupon. Just make sure that if it's going to be a second sale, you may want to let them know that it's going to be different. It's going to be different items, or it's going to be a different sale. Like if you're doing a holiday sale and you have all kinds of special holiday items, but then your second sale is going to be a used equipment sale, make sure they know that, just so that they don't give you a hard time because they think that, you know, what they just bought is going to be discounted, because that's our natural inclination, right, is to see something on sale 3 months later after we just bought it. So just make sure your customers know that. I just want to reiterate that I'm available at any time if people have questions about how to implement some of these things. I know that they can be tricky. Sometimes they require a couple hours of preparation up front, but then the benefits last forever on the back end. If they need to reach me, my email address is paulr@revgear.com. Once again, it's paulr@revgear.com, or they can obviously call here at any time. The number is 800-767-8288. Once again, it's 800-767-8288, and my extension is 104. If they miss me or I'm on another line or for whatever reason they end up in voicemail, just let me know. Don't hesitate to leave a message. Let me know what you're looking for, if you have questions about certain things, and I'll get back to everybody, so I don't mind helping. I want to encourage everybody to go out and do it and make it a success this holiday season, and don't let the negatives get you down, because there's a lot of people who are succeeding right now, and the only difference between them and those who are not is attitude and an unwillingness to accept what people are hearing, because the truth is there are a lot of people succeeding right now, so it's great.